I could just do with another cream egg, but I need a magnifying glass in order to see it. Oh, there it is behind that frozen pea.
Hello! Welcome to the show, Colourful Conversations with Mark and Pete. This is the show dedicated to religion, politics, and business. On this week's show, we pose the question, are we being conned by retailers? Well, it is not surprising that if you're a consumer and you're wandering up and down the aisles of any retailer, you might start to think, hold on, has the world changed dramatically? Yes, it appears as though certain products may have shrunk. Well, this is not a perception. This is actually a reality. The Office for National Statistics have actually said that there is certain thing that's going on. It's something called shrinkflation. Well, I'm going to get Clergyman Pete's view on this in a little while, but I just thought to myself, surely this is driving the consumer absolutely crazy. Are we really being conned here, or is it just we're going mad and we're seeing things? Maybe not. This is a little observation called Dear Shrink. My mind has started blinking from something I've deduced. Consumer brands are slowly shrinking, leaving less to be induced. It's left my stomach sinking, knowing all goods now produced, from foods to things for drinking, in packets are very loose. But one thing's got me thinking, that it's quickly coming home to roost, and it's greedy and simply stinking. The damn price has not reduced. Yeah. Yours with Cummings, small wonder. Well, Clergyman Pete, yes. I know there you are, stuffing away, thinking to yourself, you've had a hearty meal. But perhaps you realise that over 2,500 products that you keep buying each week are actually much smaller now. What do you think about that?
Yes, well, businessman Mark, if I'm buying 2,500 products a week, I think obviously I need to slim down. Great. So thank goodness that, for example, let's take an example and shame someone. Thank goodness that Toblerone have put bigger gaps between peaks on their Toblerone, because otherwise I'd be eating too much. Of course, thankfully, they still take the same amount of money out of my pocket. Otherwise, it wouldn't feel right. They're just typical, aren't they? The problem with it is that it feels, looks, tastes like a scam. Because of the pricing and the packaging. From the packaging, it looks the same. The price looks the same. The only difference is you're getting less Toblerone for your buck. And that's...
Well, let's just take Toblerone just for a moment, because I want to clarify. How smaller do you think the Toblerone has shrunk by?
Oh, okay. Well, I've got one in front of me here, obviously. I always have a Toblerone on my desk, obviously. And it looks to me like it's 50% smaller.
Oh, 50%. No, well...
That is what it looks like. But I suppose...
Well, that's true.
The base is... So I'm going to say, because the base is the same, it's the number of... I'm going to say 30%.
Well, actually, no, that would be bad. That would be bad. Exactly. But it's actually 12% that it has
crunched. So this
now,
looks
I would like to make,
is,
make a point here that 12%... is what it has shrunk by. But it says here, this is, as you quite rightly say, it's the largest spaces between the triangular mountains. Well, clearly, if the price has not changed, somebody's making mountains of profits here. So,
Well, it looks like someone's eating.
What's going on? Do you feel conned as a consumer, thinking that you're getting the same for your money?
Well, yes, and I think you do too. I notice. I know, obviously, we're both Toblerone fans here.
Oh, indeed.
And we like to say that.
Well, I now eat the cardboard to get my value.
Yes, we like to say that when we're criticising them so as not to be sued. But we're big Toblerone fans. But we're missing out, quite obviously. Now, it's not that, you know, if it's delicious chocolate and you want to pay that amount, fair enough. But we don't want to pay that. We don't want to pay that amount. We wanted to pay... that amount for a certain amount of chocolate confection. And now, is it a scam? Well, I can see how legally you can get away with it, because you say, well, it's a voluntary transaction. Just don't buy Toblerone. But the problem is with brand loyalty being what it is, people often do. Now, full disclosure, of course, I don't have a Toblerone at my desk, and I don't particularly like it. But I don't tell Toblerone. But no. If you have, there are certain things that I like to buy. You get used to the habit of buying them, and they benefit. The company benefits from that relationship. You know, people buy Toblerone not because it's the best chocolate necessarily, but they've got used to it. They liked its amusing shape. They started buying it or getting it as a big treat when they were younger, and now it's changed, and that relationship has been abused. So I don't see it as much as a scam as an abusive relationship.
Well, from a commercial point of view, there's one thing that you mentioned which we should point out is that there is nothing that they are doing which is illegal what they are doing is they're clearly stating how much ingredients are in the packets and the weight, the grammage, as well as the price. So there's nothing that they're doing which is wrong from the manufacturer's point of view. Where I think if we take the pretense of this whole show, which is the retailer, because what the retailer hasn't done is actually educated the actual consumer to say, well, actually, these products are now smaller. Yes, now, of course, we know why, because obviously, as you said, brand loyalty. If you happen to be picking up a certain bar of chocolate, and incidentally, we just want to mention here, it is not just about chocolates. It's about toilet rolls, coffee, fruit juice, which we'll name in a minute, because this has already been publicly.
Yeah, so we just said that Toblerone, and I picked on Toblerone because it was so blatant. missing out bits of the chocolate bar.
Well, I'm slightly worried on just taking the point here, because I'm going to name another brand here, which has fallen into the similar trap, but actually has implications here. But say, for example, you have toilet rolls. Andrex, a very well-known but premium toilet manufacturing product. I'm just going to say that if you bought one of these and you were caught short somewhere, you'd hope that perhaps... perhaps without your product, knowing that before there used to be 240 sheets per roll. How many sheets do you think you can now get?
Okay, I'm going to go, sir. What did you say? It was 240 before.
Yes,
I'm going to say that it's maybe 220 now.
Well, luckily for you, it's 221, so eat too much chocolate, otherwise you'll have your fine. So you'll exceed.
The reason I said that was I thought I was going down by about the same percentage.
What about things like juice? I mean, we all like some fruit juice every now and then, but Tropicana. Now, at one time, I do definitely like orange juice, etc., and one of the things I always assumed that when you buy that carton of juice, you think, that's a litre, surely, and you'd pay your money accordingly. Well, it used to be 1 litre. Well, how many millilitres do you think it is now? So it's obviously reduced. Yes, it's not more than 1 litre.
It's now 810.
No, it is slightly more. It's now 850. But neither that 150 millilitres, I mean, that's quite a few gulps of orange juice,
yes,
isn't it, you're missing there. And then let's go to the last one, which is McVitie's biscuits.
Oh, yes.
Now, we're going to do it in grammage terms here. So not the number of biscuits, but just the weight here. It used to be 332 grams. Now, that was for one packet of biscuits. How many grams do you think it constitutes today as a typical pack?
What was it to start with? I missed it. What was it?
332 grams.
I say 300. Bang on.
Well, that's extraordinary. Your stomach knows how to measure
I know.
McVitie's biscuits.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I can't be fooled.
So it does raise the question for those companies who are looking at standards, what this really means. So companies such as Which, the standards body, which operates certainly in the United Kingdom, has clearly raised some questions about the efficacy around, is it really right to be able to take a product, a well-known brand, and significantly reduce it? So we're not talking about major problem, we're not just talking about a little problem. We're talking about a major problem here. Yeah. We're talking about, in some cases, between 10 and 20% reductions on products.
Now, one of the issues here is that these are prepackaged items. And so you don't notice, for example, the weight or, in this case, or the size or the number of sheets. You don't notice it because you buy the package. Yes, you buy the package. So if the weight is reduced, it might be written there, but what you're buying is the package. So I think it is deceptive in that way. Now, in the Bible, it tells us in several places, this is an important issue that I mentioned on Mark and Pete several times, and I see it as a basis, this principle in the Bible, as a basis for the whole of trade, really. The Bible says, "You shall do no wrong in judgment in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin." So these are the old measurements of weight.
Yes.
And the, by just, it means absolutely fair and doesn't change. Mm. And elsewhere...
I think it's just a con.
Yeah, elsewhere, Deuteronomy 25:13, it says, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small." The idea over there is that you would have different ones, so people think they were getting a big amount and you wear it a small amount. Exactly what's happening in this case. The Bible says that God doesn't like it. And also that this is a wrong way to behave. This was God structuring the Hebrew nation in order for them to be able to have a successful economy. When this creeps in, people stop trusting the traders. And when you stop trusting traders, when that element of trust goes out, a whole system can fall apart. I think it's more serious in its ramifications. Where it could end up, it's more serious. Where it could lead. This not being able to trust manufacturers, especially if they're your favourite ones, that this hits home, it could have big problems to do with how we trade in the future as soon as that level of trust dips down or eventually disappears.
Let's take it from the other angle, because from a commercial point of view or a business point of view, one of the things that's fueling this is, of course, the cost of ingredients. Now, what a lot of manufacturers will say is that the cocoa bean has increased in value, shipping costs have also increased, and also actually the manufacturing and product packaging has also increased, particularly with regulation, where there is more scrutiny on how much packaging we put around products. But what I find slightly... untasteful is a product that you may or may not like yourself. Packets of Maltesers. Well, now they have certainly appealed to many people. I think they're quite Moorish. Now, remarkably, they've shrunk from 121 grams to 103, which is a reduction of 15% before you start getting your calculator out. But what I find more remarkable is what Mars, who are the makers of what they've said, and they said, that it was a way of helping consumers afford the product. And I'm thinking to myself, no, that's wrong. the very thought, the twisted mindset that could help the consumer afford the product doesn't make sense to me. No. Now, I understand that ingredients can fluctuate in many ways, depending on what the product is. But I think that the way that let's come back to the differential here. Manufacturers, I understand, have to produce a product, they have to make a profit. But where I have the issue is the way that the retailers position things. Remember, they're selling products online, on television, on radio, and many other forms, trying to sort of push their buy one, get one free deals, combined with luring you into the store. So the con, what is, in my opinion, the con? I think it's the way that they're positioned in the store, because it appears as though it's the same product, and it isn't. And that's the difference for me.
Yes.
Now, some of the retailers will say that there are clear price differentials displayed. However, I'm going to also say, for anyone who has done any sort of consumer research programs, you will know that a lot, not all, but a lot of consumers won't always look at the detail. They will look at the price, but they won't necessarily look at the detail. So they might see that a product might be, say, for example, £1, and they'll put it into their shopping basket. But what they wouldn't realize necessarily that is actually getting less for their money.
Yes.
And I think that's the difference. So for me, I think that there is a con, but accepting that, of course, a lot of the retailers are under a lot of pressure at this moment, but the competition's strong competition, and also the fact that regulation. We have to also mention this. I know that in one of our recent shows we were talking about is regulation stifling business. But regulation definitely determines that you have to have clearly labeled products, you have to have clearly labeled ingredients, you have to make it clear whether they are meeting certain standards. Now, the fact is that I also believe that where you have established brands, or certainly that if there's a major change in a product line, it's the same brand, perceived to be the same product. In my opinion, I think there should be some form of labeling to make it clearer that this has changed. Yeah. Because otherwise, and I understand there's a lot of labeling, and believe me, at this moment, can confuse the consumer. But there has to be a better way, in my opinion, of showing that a standard product, an established product, whether it's a Mars bar, whether it's a Maltesers pack, whether there's a pack of or a tub of Tropicana juice, it's a well-established brand, and the consumer should be informed better, in my opinion. Yes. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, just in closing, there, just I want to make one final point about the motivation of these companies. What's behind these changes they've been making in recent years? And it's down to research. I mean, this is a deliberate decision based on evidence that people do not change their brand. There's a brand loyalty. We're hoodwinked into it. We don't really have a relationship with Mr. Toblerone or Mr. Cream Egg. You know, there is no relationship there, really. There's no reason to be loyal. And yet some sentimental part of us keeps us loyal. And I used to work in market research, sort of at the coalface. You know, I used to go and do these
knocking on the doors.
Do the surveys, knocking on doors, stopping people in the street. And yes, one of the surveys I did was asking people whether they would buy a certain packet of mints, and there were different, different mints on offer. And first, you were asked which was your favourite brand, and then the price would be adjusted such that another one was cheaper. And for most people, they would stay loyal, sometimes to the end. You know, they're paying ludicrous amounts, just they wouldn't change. Yeah. Whereas one or two other people, in fact, people you and I know, Mark, friends of ours, a particular friend of ours, who shall be nameless, but you will know, but the listeners won't, changed with increments of a penny. You change it to side amount. Oh, no, I'll have that one instead then. Oh, no, I'll have that one. Don't you? What, I thought you liked that, man. I said, yeah, I did, but I can't be bothered if it's going to cost me more. So, I mean, but he's unusual. We'll introduce
you. Yeah, there's not the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
We'll introduce you to him one day, listeners. But that is unusual. He's an unusual personality. Most people will have that loyalty to a particular brand. And the evidence shows that people do that. Therefore, these brands and the companies behind them are taking advantage of you. This is a con.
Yes. Well, it is. And I think that to our dear friend, who I think is a rarity, where the purchasing decision is based upon price, is very rare. And it's interesting that quite a number of shows, actually, that we've seen where they've been trying to sort of educate the consumer a little bit better in terms of doing the taste test. There's a well-known show, I won't necessarily go into the detail, on a well-known broadcasting site, that basically goes in, analyzes a family's buying habit per year. And what they've noticed is that when they actually do a blind taste test, that actually the consumer often won't necessarily select their favorite brand choice, just purely on taste. And I think it's that's the power of marketing. That's, of course, something which we're all subject to at some point in our lives. And remarkably, if we were to reassess how much we're spending on some of our goods, perhaps what we think are our favorite brands, but we could get cheaper brands elsewhere, we could save hundreds, if not thousands of pounds per year. So I think, now with the economy being what it is and in the slightly more austere times, perhaps we should all start thinking about the way that we select select our products. But I come back to the wandering up and down the aisles of the retailers' stores. This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because one of the things that's also been heavily highlighted in the media in particular is the techniques to get you to the checkout desk. And this is the point about the packaging of offers. So we've been talking about individual products, but actually what's also, if we expand it, is actually the bundling of deals, the buy two products and get one free. Mm. When in actual fact, when you actually assess what you're getting, if you were to buy individual products, you'd probably get more for your money. So this is where the con comes in sometimes, that just because you're buying a bundle deal doesn't always necessarily mean you're getting the best offer. So it's really digging deep into those little price labels, folks, and that might hold you in good stead for when you get to the checkout, because that's usually a real surprise.
As opposed to the Mark and Pete show, which is worth every penny or cent that we make you pay for it.
Absolutely, yes, indeed, yes, quite right, yes, yes, yes. And believe me, there is nothing shrinking from
my side. Folks, we're exactly the same size as when you started listening to us.
The one thing I will say is that actually in some places it's actually growing.
Yes, it's growing, yes. Well, too many Cadbury's cream eggs.
Exactly. Well, listeners, what
do
you...
Not toe blowing, because that's less calories these days.
Yes. Well, look, listeners... Do you feel as though you're a victim of shrinkflation? Have you been conned by your local store? What do you think? Why not let us know and drop us a line on Mark and Pete? Follow us at Mark and Pete on Twitter, and we'd love to engage in colourful conversations. So join us next time for enjoyable and tasty and healthy and clear conversations with Mark and Pete.
Where's that cream egg?
Oh, yummy.